From the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
It is B&E with you on a Friday. Appreciate all the blitzers. Actually, we don't at all. Appreciate all the blitzers. Just some of them as we get you into your weekend. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Father's Day coming Sunday. Sunday is also the official start of summer. It'll be the longest day of the year. Sun up to sundown, which is good because you got U.S. Open. And we've got Texas baseball. Texas baseball, Longhorns at Omaha for the 37th time. That's a record that they just continue to extend. And someone who was a part of that way back in the mid-70s is on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He's in Omaha. He's a College Baseball Hall of Famer. He's our good friend Keith Moreland. Keith, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing this morning in warm Austin, Texas?
We're doing fantastic. Keith, I got to ask you this before you get to baseball. Did you get a chance to see any of the U.S. Open all night last night, which it seemed like? Did you see that rough that they got going on out there?
Woo.
Well, you know what? I have played that golf course many times. Obviously, I was with the Padres. I lived about a mile and a half from the entrance. So I have played it over and over and over. And usually in the summertime, the rough lays over and goes down. You can tell they've been putting some water on it to stand up, because it looks like it's about 12 inches long.
Yeah, it is cabbage. I mean, it's heavy, it's thick, and but the toughest part, Keith, is around those greens. You hit a pretty good shot, and all of a sudden it rolls off into that, and now you got to, you know, chip, so you're short-sighted. That's it's a great test of golf for the best players in the world.
Oh, there's no question about it. It is. It's going to be a real exciting weekend just to see what takes place. But it seems like Koepka's always close.
There he is. There's Brooksy. Brooksy! Keith Moreland with it. All right, Keith, this Texas baseball team, I mean, here they are. They've given themselves an opportunity to play for big things. They've been a high-ceiling team all year, it felt like, with their pitching staff, their bullpen, the young guys in Witt and Nixon coming along at the back end, Cole Quintanilla in the back end, and then the offense has been pretty creative with ways to score. What's your level of optimism as this group heads to Omaha to start on Sunday night?
Well, you know, Aaron, if you go back a couple of years when they made their 36th trip to Omaha, really it was just exciting to get there. You could tell it was a team that didn't have really all the components to put together a real run at a national championship. This is a lot different version. This is a team that's physical. It can hit the ball in the ballpark. It has slugging. It has on base. They will take their walks. So their OPS as a team is as good as anybody around. And they got three starting pitchers that are going to give you a chance to win. I mean, all three of them, I mean, Ty hasn't been as dominant in the second half of the season as he was in the first half, but he's still been one of those guys that gives you a chance to win. Tristan gives you a chance to win every time he goes out there. And then you got Hanson, who's another one that hasn't had the velocity that he had as a true freshman, but he's really got impeccable command, be able to use his breaking ball to both sides of the plate. And then you got the three guys in the bullpen. So this is a team that is a contender. There's no question. I think there's really four teams that can walk away with the national championship. I think one side of the bracket is in Vanderbilt's hands. Unless they want to give it away, I think they've got a great opportunity to come out of the 1-4-5-8 side of the bracket. And then on the Texas side, I think it's Texas, Tennessee, or Mississippi State. One of those three is going to come out. So Texas has got their hands full. They're going to have to beat Tennessee at least once, and they're going to have to beat Mississippi State at least once.
Yeah, Keith, do you see similarities in Mississippi State and Texas in a lot of ways when it comes to guys getting on bases, taking the extra base, just – dirt bagging it? I think I take for granted that the University of Texas also gets on bases on walks. I we always talk about how they run, how they do this, how they hit homers. But you're right. They get on base. They take a lot of good at-bats.
Yeah, that's the key. College baseball is a little bit different than big league ball. For people that want to look at big league ball, right, especially big league ball now, it's home runs and pitching. College baseball, the base on balls is 60 It's done again. 67% of the time, a leadoff walk in an inning in college baseball, that leadoff walk scores. So Texas has been really good at that. That's, again, that goes into that OPS number I was talking about. That is the addition of slugging. You add slugging and on-base percentage together, and that gets you an OPS number. And that's their strength. And then to go with that, the other thing that this team will do, it can steal you back and get into scoring position. So, and then they've got guys in the lineup that you've got to be really proud of, in the sense of guys like Mitchell Daly and Doug Hodo, who didn't really know what they were going to do. I mean, you had a true freshman, and then you got Doug. It was thrown into the position when we lost Austin Todd. So both of them have done really well. And then you got Faltini and Antico right now swinging the hottest bats on the club. And then Zubia has been really constant from the beginning of the season.
Keith Moreland is with us. He is a three-time player. We made three trips to the College World Series, was co-captain of that team that won the national title in 1975. Keith, can you remember your first trip up when you went to Omaha? I mean, a lot of these guys going for the first time. Zuby and Petrinsky have been there, but for all the rest, this is their first trip. Do you remember 1975 and your first trip to Omaha?
Well, it was 1973 for me. I've got a few days on Bucky, so it was a long time ago. It was an exciting trip. The first time to see Rosenblatt at the time, that before TD Ameritrade. And we took on a Georgia Southern team with the great coach Ron Polk making his – that was his first time to make the tournament before he went to Mississippi State. And Coach Polk is a wonderful guy. I know him now. My first at-bat in the College World Series, I hit a ball off the scoreboard for a homer. So I definitely remember my first trip.
You know, Keith – Coach Pierce, win, lose, or draw. This guy is a guy who doesn't, you know, he's very shy about the way he's handled his team. He gives a lot of credit to everybody that's on this team. He's never going to give credit to himself. But what do you think of him as a skipper right now?
Well, I Bucky, he was in a tough scenario. You know, when you look at the scenario for Augie when he came in for Coach Gus, you're replacing a legend with a legend, so he was not intimidated with the situation. You know, for Coach Pierce, David has done an outstanding job. He's been himself. That's the first thing. He hasn't tried to manage the game the way Augie did. This is the way Texas plays. They get a guy on, they bunt him to second, because he doesn't do that. He's been his own person in recruiting, getting his own style. And the other thing is, he's smart enough to realize he had to get physical. I mean, you look across college baseball, you look at the Stanford Cardinal, who are in the College World Series on the other side of the bracket. I mean, they're very young, but they're a big, physically strong ball club, and they hit the ball at the ballpark. So, you know, you find what it takes to win, and he and Coach Allen and Coach Miller and all the staff has really done an outstanding job, and congratulations to them to getting here now for the second time. And that, like I said, I think the first time, it was just, hey, you made it to the World Series. This time, I think this team's got a legitimate chance to do some things.
Keith Moreland is with us. Keith, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, you talked about them. They're one of the four teams you think can win this thing. Texas played them game one of the year up in Arlington, that forgettable series for the Longhorns, the three losses to start the year. What are their strengths, and where do you think Texas can attack them?
Well, their strength is obviously their bullpen. Their starting pitching is adequate, no question. You don't get to this point that it's not good enough to win. But their strength is definitely out of their bullpen. And the other part is that the middle part of their lineup can hit the ball at the ballpark. They are a free swinging bunch that comes to the plate. They're physical. They play in a ballpark that was as good of a college facility there has ever been created in any sport at home. So it'll be different for them to be in the ballpark in Omaha, because it is not a hitter's park. It is definitely a pitcher's park, especially if we get some warm weather where you get wind out of the south blowing straight dead in. But I like their team. I mean, I think they have a legitimate chance because they got some veteran arms. They got an outstanding bullpen with power arms. I mean, their guys out of the bullpen are coming in and throwing 95 miles an hour. So if you're Texas, you got to be ready for some heat and as I always say, you got to turn up the volume as a hitter. You got to get the barrel to the ball.
Any preference of who you'd like to see take the mound on Sunday?
Well, I think you got to go with Ty. I think that's the right move to put it in position. You know, being in the second half of the bracket too, you're short a day. You know, that's an advantage for being in that 1, 4, 5, 8 side of the bracket is you get an extra day because pitching will get a lot tighter together because you'll every other day. And if you win the first two that you play on Sunday and play on Tuesday. Now that gives you that extra day to get to Thursday again as well to rest your pitching and be able to bring those guys back. Because to win this thing, in my opinion, you're going to have to win 6 ball games to win it. So, you know, you're going to have somebody else is going to have to step up there in the middle. But I still like Texas chances just because of their pitching and what they do. That defensively, obviously, I think they're the most sound team here.
Yeah, pitching and defense will win you a lot of ball games up there. Keith, in your time around the team, and you have been around them quite a bit, and by the way, great, you and Greg do an incredible job, Swearing Swindell on the Longhorn Network with the ball games and the insight into the team. What has been your thought on what Troy Tulowitzki has brought to this team? You know, a former big leaguer, you know, very successful in the big leagues. He could be playing golf every day and retired. Instead, he wants to be around the game. He's a volunteer coach, and we hear David Pierce talk about his impact. What have you seen from Troy and what he's brought to this ball club?
Well, I think there's two areas that he really has had an impact. It is one, defensively in the middle of the field. He's with Daly and Faltini all the time, and they take on. I think both of them have taken on his attitude, which he was a type of player that was a very aggressive defender. You see both of them really attack the baseball. Trey might be one of the best that I've ever seen at getting to the ball to his right and getting the ball out of his hand. And I think he's learned a lot of that from Troy. But I think the other part that Troy brings to the table is the philosophy at the plate about being physical. Troy was a physical hitter. You know, he played shortstop, but he was the guy that hit the ball out of the ballpark and attacked extra base hits. And I think that's been a real help to these guys, and he's going to be an excellent head coach. I mean, I don't think it's going to take long for somebody to take a long look at him, and when he decides he wants to do that, you know, that's up to him, I think, more than anything else, of when he makes that decision that he wants to get into this industry. I think he wants to stay at this level, and I think that's really interesting, and I think that's good for the college game.
It's Keith Moreland, three times to the College World Series, won a championship in 1975 and in the all-decade team in the 1970s in the College Baseball Hall of Fame, College World Series Hall of Fame, I should say. Keith, let me ask you one more thing. If they do go with Ty Madden in Game 1, any doubt it comes back Tristan Stevens, or how do you see the rotation for Texas? I mean, it'll depend on loser's bracket, winner's bracket, I assume, but you know, how do you see the pitching staff up there against these high-quality teams?
Well, you look at it now. Virginia could throw a ringer in this thing, but I really believe Tennessee is the hottest team, and Tennessee is a very right-handed based team. So I would think that would mean Stevens in Game 2. Again, I don't make those decisions. I'm sure they're looking at that right now, and you can't put the cart before the horse. Go take care of Game 1. If you have to use everybody in your bullpen, get that done. You do get a day off in between. That allows you to sort of get back together and do a little workout and check on how your guys out of the bullpen were, and it gives you a real advantage. I like the style that they use and understanding now. You know, we used to get this done in 5 or 6 days, where it was rapid fire. You played every day back to back to back, and you had to have depth in your team. Where now you're starting to see this thing starts on Saturday and it doesn't end till the next Wednesday. So it gives you a chance to have nearly a 2-week or a 10-day or 11-day period to get this thing put together that helps your pitching staff.
Keith, always appreciate it. Good to hear you, and great work this year on LHN and on the radio broadcast as well this past weekend whenever you joined Craig. We always appreciate those insights, and thanks for previewing it for us, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Keith.
Well, happy Father's Day to you and Bucky. Hit him straight and make putts.
You're right about that. Thank you, my friend.
See ya.
See, you hit them straight and make putts. It's that simple. That's kind of the key to life. Hit them straight and make putts.
In other words, he's saying, Buck, go ahead and hit it 170 like you do, but when you get to the green, you've got to make the putt. You have to make the putts.
Yeah, well, he broke it down. I like that. I mean, Mississippi State's strength is their bullpen, so obviously if the Longhorns fall behind, be considering that on Sunday night, that you know, that's not good. I mean, you want to play with the lead. Texas has done that in their 5 postseason games so far. They've only trailed in 1 half inning. You know, you got to pitch ahead. As Craig Flowers sent us a text, Colonel said, pitch ahead in the count, keep the double play in order and hit behind hitters with less than two outs, and that team will win the national title. I think that's sound advice. But so Mississippi State, very good. Keith, if you tuned in the middle of that, thinks there are four teams that can win the national title, and three of them are on Texas's side of the
right.
bracket. The only one you think's Vanderbilt is clearly the favorite over on the other side, and that's with Stanford, Arizona, and North Carolina State on that side. But Texas doesn't worry about any of that, or you just worry about your side of the bracket, and that's Mississippi State, and that is Tennessee, and that's Virginia for the Longhorns. And you got to stay in the winner's bracket if you can. You got to win for the Longhorns to win a national title. You got to win five more games. Just like they're 5-0 so far,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to win the national title, they've got to win five more. They've got to try to stay in the winner's bracket. You're going to have to win at least three games in this regional to get out of it, like they did. They swept the first three games and never fell in the loser's bracket. But you got to win three games to get to the championship series, and then when you get to the championship series, you have to win two out of three when you get there. So that's where the Longhorns are. But I do like his first thought that, a couple of years ago when they got up there with the Cody Clemens team, that they were kind of happy to be there, and they had holes in that lineup. They didn't have a deep pitching staff. This group, Buck, they go up there thinking, what'd you say to David Pierce yesterday? The eye of the tiger.
Yeah, it just seems like this group has that. They're just they're not in awe about anybody that play or any of the surroundings. And a lot of guys, there's only a couple that have been there. So that's just the way they've played.
Yeah, just matter of fact.
Yeah,
play
let's
ball,
go play
inning by inning, and that'll have to be the case. And obviously, it comes full circle for them because
they haven't been down a bunch. They've not been down. They haven't been behind.
First game of the year, they lost to Mississippi State. And now
right.
this becomes the key, because if you can stay in that winner's bracket and put Mississippi State into a loser's bracket game, you stay with the advantage. And then you can turn around and you'll play the winner of Tennessee, Virginia in round two. But I do think Texas has the pitching staff and depth to, they could actually lose a game and still survive. But same time, you want to stay in the winner's bracket.
Absolutely.
And we'll find out today. Yeah, David Pierce has a media availability. Is it Ty Madden? Will they go Tristan Stevens? Do they make a change? We'll see. That'll become official likely today. When we come back, another from legendary Lifetime Longhorn to legendary Lifetime Longhorn. Colt McCoy will join the show. He's got a football camp out at St. Michael's this morning. We'll hear from Colt coming up next. Live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
All right, being with you, appreciate Keith Moreland's perspective on the College World Series. The Omahorns, as they're called, 37th trip. We'll know on Monday if they stay in the winner's bracket. And because remember, Longhorns will play Sunday night at 6. Win or lose, they're going to play again on Tuesday, Buck. If they lose, they'll play Tuesday afternoon in the losers in an elimination game. If they win, they'll play Tuesday evening, as you play every other day, because the teams that play Saturday will play again on Monday. Teams that play Sunday will play again on Tuesday, and then they play it through there. And as Craig, Keith said, they used to get this thing done in 5 or 6 days. Now they'll be there. If the Longhorns were to win the national title or play for it, it wouldn't happen until next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's when the scheduled national championship series would mm-hmm. be, the best two out of three against whoever comes out of each bracket. So long week, a lot of baseball. It starts Sunday night. A lot of golf as the round one is wrapping up at the U.S. Open, and round two will begin. They had that fog delay yesterday, and that's why 14, 15 guys didn't get to finish. But your leaders right now, Louis Oosthuizen and Russell Henley. Louis, by the way, has now finished his round.
He stay at four?
And he stays at four under par. So he's in the clubhouse with Russell Henley with a first-round 67. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is at three under, along with Francesco Molinari, and then a group at two under, which is pretty star-studded, Buck. Your pick on this tournament, Hideki Matsuyama. The San Diego native Xander Schauffele is there. Brooks Koepka, John Rahm is at 2-under. And those guys certainly in the mix. And as you said, even the guy I picked, Phil Mickelson, at +4
right.
is a good day away from being in contention, because this course is going to play more and more difficult as the weekend goes on. Yesterday was pretty tame as far as the wind goes. That will pop up, and you're playing on the Pacific Ocean. So
yeah, as I watched that last night, I was thinking, there's hardly any wind going on. What the hell happens at this place with the rough and all the stuff around the greens when the wind picks up?
It's cool that Keith mentioned he lived a mile away from that when he played with the Padres for the season he did. And that's a municipal course. So if you live there.
I didn't realize that was a muni.
That's a muni. You just walk on down and play your round.
Pay that $500 and play.
I don't know if it's $500. Maybe it is. I don't know. That,
it's probably close to $200.
Somebody will tell us. Because I know if you want to play like Pebble Beach. or
that's five bills.
That's going to be $500. I don't know. I don't think. I'm going to look up the ticket for Torrey Pines. I don't know.
We got to look at some of these. We got to do a deal where we look and say, Is that worth the $5 to play once in a lifetime?
Better play good. You can't go out there and shoot 105. That would be horrible. Miss a bunch of three putts. That'd be pretty terrible.
I would like to play Pebble Beach someday.
Me too. Me too. But 500? I'd like to just be out there. It's a beautiful place. Hey, look, let's go to, this is in the Vaquero's hotline because he's on the Comrex hotline. Mm. But so Colt McCoy has a football camp this morning out at St. Michael's. So Colt's in town. He's a lifetime legendary Longhorn. And so our man Jeff Howe is on scene at St. Michael's High School to interview Colt. Jeff, how are you, bud?
Good, guys. It's a typical, you know, June mid-morning here in Austin. Nice and toasty. I'm about to get sunburned on one of my calves, such is life. But no, good, right? Really good turnout. You know, I've gone to some media availabilities for a couple of these. Colt has run. I know, you know, on the website it talked about limited attendance, but there's really good attendance out here, and it's really good. You know, you guys have had kids, and you know, you got to do something with them during the summer, and I don't know, parents didn't have that release last summer, so but it's good to get, we've got camps back now, and camps like this to where parents can, you know, get your kids out of the house. And Colt's here, Derek Johnson's here hanging out, Brian Arakpo's here hanging out, so a lot of activity going on here at St. Michael's this morning.
Jeff, Colt has a lot of rud rats go to his too, right? Because yeah, generally nowadays camps are kids that are thinking about being recruited. They're ninth graders, and they're juniors and seniors, and they go there to get that sharpening. But not a lot of them have, like, little kids. And Colt has little kids out there, right?
Yeah, this is first through eighth grade, Buck. Kids that have not become jaded by the recruiting process.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, it's still all about just getting out here, throwing it around, and having fun, yeah.
So as soon as Colt sits down with you, Jeff, we'll let you take it and talk to Colt, who's now an Arizona Cardinal. He's joined that team after spending a year with the New York Giants, with the Washington football team before that. And, boy, he's carved out a pretty nice career as a backup quarterback in the National Football League, now with Arizona backing up the Oklahoma Sooner, Kyler Murray. Jeff, before Colt sits down, and as soon as he does, let us know, and you can take it from there. But your thoughts on the Steve Sarkisian luncheon yesterday. You did the show down there, light the tower from there. I thought Sark was pretty candid about the challenges of the first 5 months on the job, his own COVID diagnosis, the freeze, the spring practice shutdown, you know, right as they got going, another COVID issue, but really likes the resilience of this team so far, that they show up each day and go to work.
I'll tell you what, he, you know, we've seen, you know, especially the last two Texas coaches weren't always comfortable in settings like this where you've got to kind of work a room. And, you know, you guys have been around it long enough. You got to be the head coach of Texas and understand what that means when you're in a setting like that. Not only is Sark comfortable, he is really in his element. He's at home when he's working a room and up at the podium and talking, and everybody's hanging on his every word. He seemed really, really comfortable. And I think that's where the candidness comes out. That's about as comfortable and as relaxed as we've seen him. And, you know, I think he would even probably tell you, look, even the media availabilities he did with us during spring practice, you know, doing a Zoom call, that's not really his deal. He would rather be doing stuff in person and have person-to-person interaction. I think that's why he's such a good relationship builder, is because he enjoys being around people. So I think that was a big part of it, why you got the candidness from him yesterday, is now he's really in his element. We've seen that in terms of being able to host recruits now, and he's interacting with families, and he can get out in the community, something he's really passionate about and something he really wants to do. I think from that standpoint, you know, some of those kind of ancillary things we talk about being the head coach of Texas, where you got to be out in the community, you got to be visible, you've got to be a people person, you've got to have people want to gravitate you and want to listen to you and be around you. I think Sark checks all those boxes.
Yeah, and that's important to do here, especially at the University of Texas. You have to be able to be in a community. You just have to. That's a part of the gig, because when things go bad, you want that community and people that have met you outside of the football realm to be in your corner, just as a person, as a good person, you know. And I think he'll play that room, and I think he'll play, like you said, he plays the room really, really well. But I think he'll play the community pretty well too when that comes to what Sark will do.
Yeah, Buck, and, you know, you go back to, I mean, the last person that was in that chair, you know, when we got to November, December, there were no boosters, no prominent members mm-hmm. of the community. Nobody stood up and raised their hand or stood on the table and said, hey, I really think Tom Herman should still be the head football coach at Texas. When it came time for that, it was, you could hear crickets. Oh, so, yeah, that stuff, look, if you don't win enough games, it's at the end of the day, it's probably not going to matter. But if it's one of those years where you really,
right,
you know, you really need people to galvanize around you, and you really need people to rally around you to maybe get that extra year where you think you can get over the hump, I think Sark, unlike Tom Herman, I think he can get that kind of support and have people in his corner.
Jeff Howe is live at the Colt McCoy football camp. First eighth graders out at St. Michael's. Hey, Jeff, let's call an audible. Let's take a quick time out. We'll get our last break. We can hear the background. Colt's over there speaking. I want him to get a full conversation with you. Don't want to get stuck. So we'll get a timeout. We'll come right back. When we do, Colt McCoy will be with Jeff Howe, and we'll hear from the now Arizona Cardinal on what he's up to. Lifetime legendary Longhorn Colt McCoy next here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Sure is. Friday on B&E, and let's send it right back out to Jeff Howe. He is at the Colt McCoy football camp. First eighth graders out at St. Michael's, and Jeff will do his show, Light the Tower, coming up live from that camp. And I think Colt is sitting with Jeff, so let's send it out to Jeff Howe at the Colt McCoy camp.
Thanks, E. We are here at the Dell Children's Medical Center Colt McCoy Pro Camp presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Colt, it's good to see you. I know you've done this camp for a while. Obviously, we had to take a break last year, but you know, logistically, you know, when you've got to set this up, it's a little bit of a roll of the dice. But judging by the turnout and how many people are out here, it's got to feel good for you and your family to be back out here in the community.
Yeah, it's great. I'm thankful to be having the camp this year. I had to take a break last year, like you mentioned, but there's just so many great organizations here in Austin that, you know, want to be a part of this, and it's been great. Good partners like Academy and Dell Children's and so many more. You know, my buddy Drew at Hat Creek's making burgers for everybody. So Austin is such a great community. It's been so good to me and my family, and you know, to have a camp like this, to sponsor, you know, several kids to come, it's been great, and they're getting good instruction. All my high school coaches are out here coaching. They're coaches across the state, but the camp's getting bigger and bigger every year, so I have to go out and recruit a couple more coaches. So maybe next year you can come out here and coach.
Your dad flips that coaching switch on every time he's out here, doesn't he?
He has so much energy. I could not do it. He's good at it. He enjoys it. You know, he's definitely, you know, been coaching his whole life, so this is right up his alley.
So, Colt, change of scenery for you in the off season, headed to Arizona. What was it about that situation with Coach Kingberry and that organization that made you feel like, hey, this is the place where I want to extend my career?
Yeah, you know, I went back and forth, you know, after my leg injury of if I wanted to keep playing or not. I had played for 10 years and, you know, had some ups and downs. I was really struggling to get healthy off my leg, and so I went to New York last year and ended up, you know, once I got through training camp and during the season, my leg just finally, after all the hard work, it started feeling better and better, and you know, started not to think about it anymore, and played pretty decent when I did play last year. And so then I kind of feel like rejuvenated, you know, and I feel blessed to be able to come back closer to home and play for Cliff. I've known Cliff for a long time. I think the Cardinals organization is first class. You know, I just you almost don't like to bounce around teams. I was in, you know, Washington for 7 years, and I never really did the, you know, kind of moving around. But I just feel like it was the right fit for me and my family, and for me and my career. And it's been a good off season so far. I've enjoyed learning it. You know, all these offenses that I've got to learn, I just kind of think it's like another arrow in my quiver.
Right.
If I ever wanted to coach or whatever, I have a ton of experience in learning them and understanding the ins and outs of them, and you know, it's been fun to learn this system so far.
I want to go back to the injury for a second, and just that process of getting over it. And I know you and Alex Smith were honorary captains for the Alamo Bowl a couple of years ago when Texas played Utah. How much did you and Alex talk about just kind of the mental part of, I mean, the physical part's obviously there, but getting over the injury, kind of that mental part of it, and kind of pushing through that and then deciding what the next step is?
Yeah, Alex and I were really close, obviously, before we both broke our legs.
Right.
But having gone through that and the trauma of that, and his was worse than mine, obviously, you know, but you still deal with a lot of things mentally, and can I still do this? Should I still do this? You know, I just want to be able to run around in the yard with my kids someday, right? And so I've been so proud of Alex. That was a great thing to walk through with him, but obviously super hard and was just scary, right? And so We got closer throughout that whole process. I've been so proud of him for, you know, and then I was on the sidelines when he came off the bench and played last year when I was with the Giants. You know, I just, I was sort of emotional standing there on the field. Like, I know what this guy's been through. I've been through it to an extent, but I've walked through it with him, and it's pretty powerful, like, and a testament to him and, you know, how hard he worked and how good the doctors were and just all those things. So last year was a crazy year. I'm thankful that I'm healthy and thankful that I'm in a new place and a new start and a place I want to be, and we'll see how it goes.
I want to talk to you about Arizona, and you mentioned how many offenses you've had to learn in the league. You know, they run, I think, more 10 personnel than anybody in the league. And, you know, in your time at Texas, from your start to your finish, the league changed so drastically offensively and was kind of on the cutting edge of some of the stuff. Now that we're seeing in the National Football League, is it weird for you to, you know, have faced kind of that Mike Leach air raid at Texas Tech and what they were doing at Oklahoma and even some of what you guys were doing running jet tempo your last couple of years to now? It's almost like if you're not doing it in the league, you're kind of behind the times.
Yeah. No, there's definitely a place for it. You know, when I was in college, I really valued my time with Greg Davis because we were a pro-style offense until we lost Blaine Irby. Mm-hmm. And then when JerMichael and Blaine both left, like, we just never filled that tight end role. So Jordan kind of moved to play technically the Y, but he was always split out. Mm-hmm. So we were still running, like, pro-style concepts just out of the shotgun and more like 10 personnel stuff. And so now, like, when you're in the NFL, like, early on in my career in the NFL, there was still a lot of, like, 21 under center, play, heavy play action. You know, then you'd get an 11 personnel if you wanted to throw it. Yeah. And I wasn't really playing in 10 early in my career.
Right.
Now, like, you've seen the league transition from, like, you know, every team or there's teams in every division that spread it out. Mm-hmm. And you've learned those concepts through the years, like, a little bit. But now going with Cliff, now I'm learning the origin of, like, where all these past concepts came from. Like, you know, what's the read, what's the progression? You kind of learn bits and pieces of it through different offenses. But that's been cool. You know, it's not the air raid from college.
Right.
But it's still, like, in their version, in their language, and some of the concepts that, you know, that match up.
Yeah, everybody's got their own twist on kind of what they want to do. So you were with Daniel Jones in New York. You go to Arizona. You're with Kyler Murray. You know, your position now, Colt, being a backup quarterback and kind of being the savvy veteran that's got to, you know, kind of pass down knowledge to the young guy. What do you take from that experience now going with a guy like Kyler who is still, you know, first couple of years in the league, but obviously that organization, you invest the number one overall pick in a guy, you obviously have big plans for him down the road.
Yeah. I loved my time with DJ. DJ's great. He's got a bright future ahead. We got very close, and we will stay close. And I've only got to spend 3 weeks with Kyler, and he's been great. Like, he's so talented. There's things that he does that I can't do. Not many guys can. I mean, and he's experienced a ton of success in his career, right? He's probably the highest recruit coming out of high school. You know, he played great in college, won a Heisman Trophy, was first pick in the draft. He was a first-round pick in baseball. I mean, the guy's an unbelievable athlete. But getting in a room with him, talking football, you know, again, it was for 3 weeks, but he's been awesome. We started off on the right foot, and it's been a ton of fun. I mean, I threw just a few Oklahoma jabs in there, but
just a few.
Yeah, just enough to, like, you know, not ruffle any feathers, but just
stoke,
let
just
them know.
Stoke that, the fire, know, poke the bear a little bit.
Should have been 4-0. I'll take 3-1, I guess. Kyler's great. He's taught me a lot about this offense. I've asked a lot of questions. We've taken it to the field, worked on some things, and I'm excited about this year. I mean, there's a lot of talent around us, and, you know, we just need to play consistent, you know, turnover-free football and let the rest happen.
Colt, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the current product at Texas, and I know Coach Sark, when he took the job, he really wanted to reach out to the Letterman. He's gotten you back involved. I know you were on campus last weekend for the big recruiting weekend. How has it been, one, establishing that relationship with Sark, but two, you know, when you were in school, it was, you know, Ricky would come back or Vince would come back. Now you're the guy that comes back that the young kids want to see and be like, wow, it's Colt McCoy walking through the building.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they remember me. It's been a long time. I will say, like, I think there's just a different vibe with Sark and his staff. I mean, from the moment they got hired, all of them were reaching out to me. Milwee, all the coaches were like, dude, we want you up here. Come watch some tape with us. Mm-hmm. Come, you know, be around, you know. And that hadn't happened since I graduated. You know, I think that's the hard part for us. You know, DJ and Arakpo are out here. Their kids are out here at camp. It's just, you know, when we all graduated, there was just a ton of turnover and change at UT, you know, and all the connects and people that recruited us and coached us now are in different places. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, by Sark and those guys, you know, they don't have to reach out to us. Like, we're just former players. We want the program to be successful. Like, we know how much we gave to the school, and we just want to see them win. You know, for them to reach out to us and want us around, and I know they had a big recruiting deal, and I wasn't able to make the morning part of it, but I was able to get up there later. I was like, guys, stop calling me. I'm going to come up here. I'm going to make it. Yeah. You know, I just think there's just a different feel. Those guys are good football coaches. I watched Stark's offense in the league. He had a top 10 offense in the league with Matt Ryan, those guys. And I love what he does. And I definitely think it's going to be successful here. It's just, you know, I think us as fans, you know, our expectations don't need to be we're in the, you know, Final Four at the end of the season, right? We might be. Mm. Like, we're good enough to be. But, like, let Sark implement what he's trying to do and get it established like he wants to. And I feel great about the character of the coaches. I think the staff that he's put together is very well done, and they're professional, and I'm excited about it.
Colt, we'll get you out of here on this. 15 years ago this summer, you were locked in a quarterback battle with Jevon Snead, trying to be the guy to replace Vince and get the keys to the bus, so to say. What advice would you give? And I don't know if you've talked to Casey or Hudson. What advice would you give those guys on just how to handle that competition? We're coming out of spring. Everything Sark said, it seemed like, hey, all things are equal. And as you know, the summer can really make that separation at the end of the day that matters.
Yeah, but hold on. Let's go back. I was in a quarterback competition every year I was there.
True.
Coach Brown was like, he wasn't about to let me think that I was something. But yeah, you're right. Winning the job over Jevon that year was, it was great, and I worked hard, and that was my goal, and I did everything to achieve that. But there was still this like thing inside of me, like, I don't know how I'm gonna replace Vince, you know. No. And so that was, when I was earning that job, I wasn't really thinking about beating Jevon Snead out. I was thinking about, how do I play at a high level so that all these guys that I step in the huddle with who just won a national championship will like actually listen to what play I'm calling or what I'm trying to tell them. And so there was like even deeper things going on inside my head whenever I was at UT. And I'm just thankful that I was able to play. I mean, guys nowadays hardly get 4 years to do that. And I consider myself one of the lucky ones. But and what I would tell Casey or Hudson, I mean, listen, this is a big job. Like, lots of eyes on you. Like, I would just lock in and appreciate the fact that I have an opportunity to compete for a job here at UT and give it all you have and let everything else separate itself. I think Casey has done a lot of good things, played good in the bowl game last year. He's got some tape. Like, that definitely helps. I think Hudson, you know, throws the ball great. I haven't – you coming out of Lake Travis, like – highly recruited, right. Both. I mean, I think we're going to be good with either one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, have any skin in the game here.
Yeah.
I've only been to one practice, so I'm just excited that when there's a competition at that position and both those guys are very good, it helps the team.
Yeah.
And let that play out how it's supposed to, and it'll be. I think that's the way Sark's doing it. It's like, I don't want to name somebody right now. I'm just going to, like, naturally let it happen because it's going to separate itself at some point.
Colt, you talk about being excited. I know parents are excited that your camp is back so they can get their kids out of the house for a couple of days.
Yep.
Get them out here moving. I know you're excited to get back on the field and work with them, so we'll let you go.
They're going to sleep good tonight. Parents can thank me later.
Everybody staying hydrated out here. A lot of fun here at the Colt McCoy Pro Camp. Colt, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. You bet.
There it is. Bucky, Aaron, back to you guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Great job, and great to hear Colt. That's well done. Well done. Good conversation. Good to hear Colt battling through that injury in Washington and still playing in Arizona with Cliff and Kyler Murray. And somebody texted already and said Colt McCoy hadn't been asked to be around the program since he graduated. Did I hear that correctly? Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. How does Charlie Strong and Tom Herman come through here and not invite the – incredible alumni back to be part of their program.
How do they do it? They did, and that's why they're not. That's part of the reason why they're not here.
I know, but I mean, I guess how do you not think of, hey, let's get all these incredible players of the past back in and around it? We're already seeing Chris Beard do it with the basketball team, because
right.
I think a lot of the, you know, the Kevin Durants of the world felt the same way about the former basketball coach, that they weren't really welcome around, which for most of us seems odd. It just seems like a natural thing that you would do, but you know. To each his own.
Yep.
But it's good the Colts back, and that's a positive affirmation on Sark and where they're going. Buck, good show today. Appreciate Andy Lockman, president of the Austin FC, previewing the big game tomorrow night. You'll be there.
I will.
Are you taking a limo or Uber?
No, I don't know yet. I'm probably Ubering it.
All right. Also, we appreciate Brian Davis. We appreciate Colt McCoy and Keith Moreland. All of you. The Blitz was fantastic as well. Enjoy your weekend. Happy Father's Day, Buck.
Same to you, E.
Thank you, bud. Thank you, bud. Happy Father's Day to my dad down in Houston, Larry Hogan. Happy Father's Day there. Love you, Pops, for sure. Zay will be a father one day, but we'll say happy Father's Day to his dad, Coach CeCe. Happy Father's Day over at Bowie High. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Longhorn, 6 o'clock on Sunday night, U.S. Open. Austin FC's debut at home on Saturday night. We'll be talking about it all. 6 a.m. Monday morning for 4 hours. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Have a great, great weekend. And happy Juneteenth tomorrow out there. It's B&E with you.